Hi, I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to the Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare. Today, we're going to talk about hope for addiction. And this is near and dear to my heart. I had a family member who is a recovering cocaine addict and very involved now up in Michigan. Mm-hmm. With addiction, and just so proud of him. And so this is very near and dear to my heart. But Dr. Prather, when we talk about addiction, what are we talking about?
Well, the definition of addiction is where your brain is dependent upon some type of a drug, mm-hmm. That's in the system. And it's changed the functioning of your brain. In other words, the brain doesn't work very well, or your body doesn't work very well, unless you are taking in that substance. Mm-hmm. It usually also causes behavioral change. It causes a lessened desire for the normal things that make you happy. Mm-hmm. And the drug, the substance, then becomes the primary motivation for your life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is that they've been able to come up with an assessment on sort of how addicted you are. And there's different levels of addiction, you know, that are out there. So, you know, looking at that, having that evaluated, one can, even just from some basic questions, find out, you know, just how addicted someone is. And usually one of the interesting things is that there's a strong denial that you are really addicted, you know. Mm-hmm. The false impression that you are still in charge and it's a choice on your part. Mm-hmm. When you have become addicted, it's no longer becomes a choice.
Mm. Wow. So, you know, some people are calling, you know, saying it's a disease. There's a big debate about that. Is it behavioral? Is it disease? What do you say to that, Dr. Prather?
When you're talking about true addiction, you're talking about a disease process. Disease process is an abnormal function within the body. And the physiology has been completely changed. How the nervous system works, how the endocrine system works, is altered and into a abnormal pattern. So definitely it's a disease. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has become is a definite hindrance to the process of dealing with this terrible situation that mm-hmm. we have in the United States. The United States has 5% of the population, and we take in 80% of the drugs.
You mean in the world? We have 5% of the population, and we take in 80%
of the drugs.
Are we talking about what kind of drugs?
We're talking about all the different types of drugs, including
legal
and illegal.
Illegal. Okay. Wow.
So, you know, we have a huge problem here in the United States. It is something that is a society type of problem. And, of course, we have an addiction problem. You know, there's a philosophy that is going on that all you need to do to solve your problems is to take a pill and that you get immediate relief. Mm-hmm. And it's an illusion. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that has been perpetrated is that, if you become an addict, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You know, and just get out of it. You know, if you wanted to quit, you could quit. Right, mm-hmm. right. So there's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. But being an addict is once you're into the addiction, it is definitely a disease type of problem, mm-hmm. and should be treated as a disease. And one of the major problems is that we have a large population of addicts in the United States. And less than 10% are getting treated. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can imagine if we had a disease process of cancer and only 10% of the people got treated for that. or heart disease. You know, is that something that's acceptable? It's not.
Right, and I know a lot of insurance does not cover it.
Sure.
There's not a lot of facilities. Facilities are closing.
Sure. And, you know, the just even societies and family members support along those lines. And even the mindset of the addicts themselves, you know, is off.
Right.
So, you know, this is a huge problem that needs to be addressed, and it isn't being addressed.
So how many drug and alcohol addicts are there in the United States alone?
The best estimate at this time is about 40 million.
Wow.
Which is a huge number, and then there's another 80 million who are considered at risk. So this is a very large percentage of our population, and you know, with a huge cost to society.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What is the financial cost of addiction here in the United States?
Well, it's big. If we're just talking about just prescription opiates, for the healthcare bill that's involved with that, is $26 billion a year, and that's just one small segment of prescriptions. And these are legal. You know, these are ones that have actually been prescribed by doctors. So that's what I'm saying is we have not just an individual problem, but we have a society problem. We have a policy problem. We have insurance companies paying for prescription opioids that are acknowledged scientifically as increasing pain, not decreasing pain. If you have chronic pain, you should not be taking an opiate. It's only for acute pain. If you're giving that for chronic pain, you're increasing the chronic pain. So
it's a vicious cycle.
Yes. So, you know, we have, this is not just an individual problem, but this is a society problem. This is a healthcare delivery problem. This is a promotion that is done, was actually done by the U.S., supported by the U.S. government. So, you know, there has to be a rethinking of how we're approaching that. When we're talking about illicit drugs, healthcare costs is $11 billion. Prescription opiates itself for the healthcare costs is $26 billion. And alcohol is a healthcare bill is $27 billion right there. And the overall cost of alcoholism in the United States, lost time of work, all those different types of things that go in, is by itself $249 billion a year.
Alcohol.
Just alcohol.
Wow.
You know, tobacco is you know, a lot of people will be surprised. Tobacco just isn't, you know, bad for you, but it's a drug. If you're looking at the normal cigarettes that people are taking in, those only have 2% of actual tobacco in it. The rest of it is ground up cardboard dipped in many of them illegal drugs.
Wow.
Opioids and cocaine and all those different types of things. And it's designed to make you addicted. And tobacco makes you more sensitive to all the other drugs. So that if you are smoking, your chances of becoming alcohol, opiate, cocaine, any of those types of drugs goes right through the roof.
I was so proud of CVS when they pulled all their tobacco, cigarettes.
Absolutely. And you know, there are cigarettes out there that are just purely tobacco and aren't designed to try to make, I mean, there's an addictive quality to the nicotine, but they're not designed. Tobacco is a designer drug to make you addicted and prone to addiction. So, you know, we have a lot of problems that are going on that need to be addressed, and it is not just the individuals, but it's a society problem.
Right. So what happens to the brain with addiction?
Well, when you're talking about addiction, there is a, you know, just to simplify it, it's much more complicated, but there's a dopamine reward center that goes on in your brain. So whenever you do something correct or right or good for you, there is a reward into your brain, a feel-good type of thing. So when you hold a baby you get an excellent dopamine response. Mm-hmm. That's one of the highest ones.
I'm getting a lot of that lately.
Yeah,
with the grandma.
When you look in your lover's eyes or your child's eyes, there's a dopamine response.
That depends, right?
Right. When you see a beautiful sunset, there's a dopamine response. When you see some excellent food before you and you put it in your mouth, there's a dopamine response. So, you know, the dopamine response is designed to say, hey, this is good. Now, one of the things that we weren't biologically set for is a dopamine response. What the drugs do and the substances is it imitates that body's dopamine response. So people will take a drug or alcohol or something like that, some type of a substance into their body, and they get that reward system. So they want more of it. Mm. And they start to do that on a continual type of a basis, and the body starts to get used to it. But there's something called a tolerance factor, where there's a decreasing reward. So you increase what you're taking to try to get that same feeling you got the first time. And so you start to increase it to try to get that. The more you increase it, the more the natural dopamine responses don't occur. So you start to lose interest in your job, you start to lose interest in the people around you, you start to lose interest in your children, because there isn't the dopamine response, so it becomes your number one aspect in your life, and it takes over. And that's one of the things that's a sign of an addict, is that the normal things that should make you happy should give you those good feelings which lead to a happier, healthier life no longer occur.
Yeah,
and it becomes the substance that becomes the main focus of your life, and it gives a less and a less and a less of a reward to that. So it changes how your brain works, how your physiology works, and then it starts to play havoc with the whole physiology of the body.
Mm. So sad. It substitutes for family members.
It substitutes for love, for food. Mm-hmm. It becomes an all-consuming type of a process in your body, and that becomes the most important thing. And you know, your anger towards other people, the social interactions, it changes your cognitive and critical thinking, so that you make very unwise and unhealthy choices in your life that lead to a whole host of problems.
Okay, well, we're talking today about hope for addiction. When we come back, let's talk about why some people become addicted and others don't.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, what makes your approach and emphasis on the thyroid unique?
We look at it structure functionally, where homeostasis is what is important. Mm-hmm. And homeostasis is a balance, and there's a balance in the thyroid that should be achieved, which you can determine. And the people who have a normally balanced thyroid homeostasis is probably less than 1%.
Wow.
Of the population. There are two systems that control the rest of the body, the nervous system, and then also the endocrine system. And as I tell the patients, those are the two things that we need to get fixed first. Mm. You have to have a proper functioning nervous system and a proper functioning endocrine system to be healthy. And the thyroid is sort of the workhorse of the endocrine system. And many of the problems that we see in patients, once we get the thyroid balanced out, a lot of the issues start to clear up. The people who come in here, often 80% of them have had their, because they felt that their thyroid was a problem.
Had them checked,
and they were told that they were normal when.
Why is that?
They're not doing the proper blood tests. They're not reading them correctly. Doctors aren't being specific enough on what the thyroid number should be. The American Thyroid Association has said that the numbers need to be much, much tighter than what they are. There's a different type of a evaluation. There's reference range, and then there's homeostasis. What is a perfect homeostasis? The labs aren't there to tell you what the blood work should be. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, of the people who come in here, 50% of them have this number. Reference range has nothing to do with where, you know, mm-hmm. you should be.
Right.
That's
I know
not
you
what
look way beyond them and can right. tell people, you know, and they come in, well, my doctor said, you know, this right. was normal. And
yeah. I say, no, that's mm-hmm. that's not normal. I even find endocrinologists mm-hmm. Not reading lab tests properly. Mm-hmm. to really understand where that should be, because when we get people into homeostasis range, mm-hmm. their symptoms go away. That's where they go, oh, wow, I feel really great. All the different things that I was complaining about are all of a sudden now working properly, and that's because they are in the range that I tell them that they should be in.
Right.
Because those are the proper ranges that need to be there.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
We're talking today about the hope for addiction. And I love that title because there is hope. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel hopeless. You know, if you're listening out there and you have a child, I had a family member who was addicted for years, and we know other stories that there is hope
sure.
for addiction, and that's what we're sharing, is that hope, and there needs to be an understanding mm-hmm. and an awareness. So, Dr. Prather, I mean, we talked about how serious of a matter it is. You said the United States is 5% of the world's population. Mm-hmm. We have 5% of the world's population, but we consume 80%
of all the drugs.
Drugs, legal and illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Unbelievable what we're doing to our society. We could destroy our society. You know,
this is a crisis that the government has acknowledged. There's been many different types of forums on this, that this is a crisis that if it's not corrected, will destroy America. The projections are just awful. The cost to every man, woman, and child, because most of the people who are paying for the financial burden usually are, you know, I mean, not only the addicts, but everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
If we had addiction taken care of, healthcare costs throughout the United States would drop by about 25%. The incarceration rate is very, very much associated with the addiction. There's mm-hmm. a very strong correlation on that. The amount of productivity, the amount of changes that each person would experience is huge. It would be an amazing America if we could solve our addiction problem.
Mm-hmm. Even if we could solve it halfway.
Yeah.
You know.
If we could make some real progress on that, yes. And only 10% of these people are being treated.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just absolute shame.
Mm-hmm.
Just in human terms, but even in financial terms, you know, it would pay to treat our addicts.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. We have hospitals for cancer. You know, we need hospitals for the addiction.
Right. And we need programs to solve and have some answers for the addiction. That's one of the things we want to present here today.
Okay. So let's go to the question, why do some people become addicted and others don't?
Well, there are predisposing factors for addiction. Addiction just doesn't happen on its own. One of the things is that we were involved in brain studies on people. There are genetic markers. There are nutritional deficiencies. There are already brain damage that can have occurred before the addiction occurs. So many of the people that you could do a MRI type of a brain study and predict who's more likely to become addicted and who's not.
By just looking at the brain.
Just by looking at the brain, because there are some problems with some of the dopamine reward centers. One of the things that has been shown is that the people who are more likely to become addicted have a poor dopamine response. It's not that they have a hyperdopamine response. It's because they don't have that normal stimulation to the brain that the average person does. So if you are dopamine deficient and you don't have that normal type of, that felt good type of response, then when you do have that response, it's like, oh my gosh, that's what I've been missing all my life.
Yeah.
How do I get that back? How do I feel normal? Most of the time that people are going to substance abuse, drug abuse, is because they're trying to correct a deficiency that is already there. So that's what the problem is that there is some type of a physiological deficit or indication that they will probably, as they get that alcohol in their system, as they get take that drug, and they get that aha moment that other people who have a normal dopamine response have, that it becomes, that person becomes someone who is at risk of becoming addicted.
So if there are times in someone's life where their dopamine's low, you know,
then more
or
likely
they're having increased stress.
Sure.
I've heard addiction can be shame-based. Is that brain going to seek that, or?
They will. That will be something that they are looking for, that reward, and it will start to occur. One of the things also is that genetics plays a role. One of the things is called epigenetics. Epigenetics means that we help to shape our own genetic code. And if you had a ancestor who was addicted, your chances of becoming addicted are much higher because they were addicted, it changed their genetic code, which passes on to you. So setting up yourself and becoming addicted will help your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren also to have a tendency to become addicted, because now you've changed the genetic code to be receptive to the alcohol, drug, whatever it might have been. So not only are you setting up yourself, but you're also setting up others that are following you.
Interesting. And I don't think people think about that.
Correct.
You know, I know someone whose father's an alcoholic, and he's in college and drinking a lot. And I had mentioned that it's something you need to be aware of.
Right.
You know,
your chances of becoming because of
the... And it was
the,
an aha moment for him.
Right.
You know, we think just this binge drinking in college is going to be something temporary.
Right.
But it might not be.
You're setting up a pattern for yourself.
I know with my brother, who is a recovering cocaine addict, there was three of us. I was the oldest. He was in the middle. But back in the 70s, it was diagnosed what they called hyperactivity. They call that ADHD now. And put him on Ritalin.
Sure.
Which, isn't Ritalin a form of cocaine?
It is. And there's quite a few studies that if you were on Ritalin, Adderall, or Concerta, your chances of becoming an addict as an adult are increased quite dramatically.
Mm. And all these kids in high school that are taking Adderall, you know, to do better on a test or to get that A,
right,
is increasing. So, it is. And I know we talked a little bit about this, but, you know, is an addiction a disease? And you talked a little bit about tolerance in that first segment. Anything you want to add to that in this segment?
It's an increasing type of need. It's not an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you if you start to see that you are heading down that slippery rope, the sooner that you deal with it, the better off you are.
Right. Makes
and
sense.
You know, the increasing type of interestingly enough, when you do positive things to increase your dopamine response, your dopamine response becomes more active.
Mm-hmm.
When you do negative things to get that dopamine response, the dopamine response starts to decrease.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a real correlation on doing the right things, the things that mom says that you should do and the things that mom says you shouldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
The things that they tell you that you should do are the things that make you healthier, better. I mean, that's why there's the old rules of you should do this, you shouldn't do that. It's not just because people were stupid and didn't get it. It's because people were smart and did get it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. When we come back, let's talk about addiction and the treatment.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is the Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
They got this prescription stuff that they advertise on TV, and I swear, half the time, the side effects are 50 times worse than what the medicine cures.
Try new Floraflor for itchy, watery eyes. It's Floraflor. Side effects may include nausea, vomiting, water weight gain, lower back pain, receding hairline, eczema, seborrheic psoriasis, itching, chafing clothing, liver spots, blood clots, ringworm, excessive body odor, uneven tire wear, pyorrhea, gonorrhea, diarrhea, halitosis, scoliosis, loss of bladder control, hammer toe, the shanks, low sperm count, warped floors, cluttered drawers, hunchback, heart attack, low resale value on your home, feline leukemia, athlete's foot, head lice, club foot, MSMD, VD, fleas, anxiety, sleeplessness, drowsiness, poor gas mileage, tooth decay, parvo, warts, unibrow, lazy eye, fruit flies, chest pains, clogged drains, hemorrhoids, dry heaving, and sexual dysfunction.
You know what? I'll just have itchy, watery eyes.
A special message from the DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice.
Are you tired of making the same weight loss resolution only to end up right back where you started? Let the professionals at DTS Weight Loss Center take all the frustration out of dieting. Our nutritionists and wellness coaches know what works for every body type and can develop a plan specific to your needs throughout your medically supervised program. Make the change by visiting us online at DTSweightLossCenter.com. Dedicate. Transform. Succeed.
When you call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment at our DTS Weight Loss Center, mention the Voice of Health radio show and you'll receive a free initial consultation plus a free body composition analysis. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. The DTS Weight Loss Center at the Prather Practice. Dedicate, transform, succeed.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case loving you. No pills gonna kill my head.
I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue. Today we're talking about hope for addiction. And Dr. Prather, can addiction be cured or prevented?
Yes. The problem is that we're not approaching it in the proper way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rate of working with addiction is unfortunately extremely low. So the methods that we have been using aren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find some new answers and some new ways of approaching it, and that's what we want to talk about today.
So what is the medical or disease method of treating addiction?
Usually it's more pharmaceuticals. So you treat pharmaceuticals with pharmaceuticals, and that can be helpful, but pharmaceuticals are poisons to the body. If they're not a poison to the body, then they can't be classified as a pharmaceutical. The longer that you take them, the more that you take, the more likely you are to have negative responses. So pharmaceuticals are good in short-term types of situations, but never in long-term treatments. That is just not a way to approach anything. So treating pharmaceuticals with pharmaceuticals can be very helpful in a short manner, acute. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going into a situation where you're going to die from a reaction from an opiate, pharmaceuticals is the only way to go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking at trying to stay away from a certain type of drug by taking another drug over a long period of time, eventually that other drug is going to be a problem too. So, you know, that is not and has not been an effective means of treatment. It has not worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it will not work.
So let's talk about, we at the Prather Practice do structure function medicine. How is structure function care different?
Structure function care is where you heal the body. Pharmaceuticals is where you manage the symptoms and try to stop a process from occurring. Whereas with a structure function care, you look for where the body is out of balance. You know, one of the things we talked about is the normal dopamine response is not occurring. So fixing the normal dopamine response would be a great way to stop addiction.
Mm, makes sense.
It makes sense. The brain balance, getting the brain balanced out, getting the hormones rebalanced. So if you get the balance back into place, the addiction process becomes no longer an addiction, but there's actually a cure that occurs. Because usually most people who are addicted already have an underlying deficiency or imbalance in the system for it to occur.
Mm.
So getting back into that correction will actually get to the place where the person is functioning normally, and a normal function person does not become addicted.
So what protocols are important for structure function care?
Important types of things on structure function care is a good diagnostics, which we'll talk about later, you know, to find out what the imbalance is. And then finding the different means of correcting that imbalance. And there's, you know, many different types of ways of approaching that. There's nutritional, making sure that the body is sufficient along those lines. Critical for and makes one of the biggest difference in people with addictions. Getting the hormones balanced out, getting the nervous system balanced and the body working correctly. Brain balance is important,
mm-hmm.
Getting that all set. Looking at all those different types of areas of work and getting all the physiological areas under control makes such a difference and will really cut down on many of the symptoms of the rehab.
So why is the AA method, Alcohol Anonymous,
sure,
successful?
That is successful basically because they take it in that the person is no longer in charge. It takes away their feeling of control.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that and getting a reality check, and one of the most important things, the people who are most successful in controlling their addiction. Now, that doesn't get into actually treating the underlying physiological problems,
mm-hmm.
but it does help them to understand the power of the addiction and that the addiction is in control, not the person.
Mm.
And that realization along those lines is one of the critical things to someone moving forward, and it is actually critical even in a physiological standpoint, because if they don't understand what is happening, that the addiction has taken over, then no matter even if you try to balance out the physiology, they're going to be working against you. Mm-hmm. So the AA method was a realization of their weakness, mm-hmm. and acknowledging that and seeking help and giving help, mm-hmm. is the secret behind AA and that type of a mental type of a work, that counseling type of thing, and of helping others is a very successful way and always needs to be a part of people's treatments.
Yeah, I know for my brother, you know, he had been on, relied on cocaine for a long time. And when it came to a point, we did a professionally led intervention. And he had to humble himself. You know, there he came to a point, right, that there was humility. Mm-hmm. And he's a recovering addict now, and I see that humility that I had never seen before.
Sure.
You know, and I think AA addresses that too.
Yeah, and those types of methods, you know, are critical to anyone's recovery.
Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the structure function model, because we are, this model, we are at our office having success with addiction. That's why we're calling this Hope for Addiction. So why addressing nutritional deficiency is so important, Dr. Prather?
Well, one of the things is usually there were some nutritional deficiencies. That's mm-hmm. why the dopamine response wasn't really working before. And then when you start any type of a substance abuse or drug abuse, your deficiencies increase quite dramatically. So it becomes even more, I mean, your B vitamins, your vitamin C, vitamin D, when the body's under stress and not functioning properly, the requirements for minerals, fatty acids, vitamins becomes much greater. And you're not, usually you're avoiding food and not living right. And so the amount of deficiencies increase quite dramatically. And that starts to show up on the physiology of the blood. People who are addicted have terrible liver enzymes, their kidneys not working right, their mineral imbalance is all off, their hormones are starting to shut down, and a lot of that has to do with nutritional deficiencies. So getting that body balanced out is going to be critical in finding out exactly what those nutritional deficiencies are, getting those into the system as quick a manner as possible. And then starting to get the function back is critical.
Well, and that's why it's so important that we take care of our children. You know, some people, you know, will say, well, they'll grow out of it, you know, if they just want peanut butter and jelly every day, you know, and not addressing their nutritional deficiencies when they're a child, because this is where it can all start.
It is. And children, people think that kids are just naturally healthy. Well, mm-hmm. that's not true. Mm-hmm. The death rate in children used to be very, very high. The nutritional needs of a child are extremely high because they're going through growth. And many times, children can show up more nutritional deficiencies than adults. So, you know, having...
They're just younger and...
Actually under more stress.
Yeah.
Physiological stress, because their body's changing on a continual basis and growing. So their nutritional needs are higher than ours. And their desire for a good, healthy diet may not be there.
Right. The desire, right? Right.
Children are very prone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Children are very prone to dopamine response. And sugar is actually a drug.
Mm. And adults aren't.
Yeah. But that's one of the things that people don't realize is that sugar is an addictive drug, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about hormone balance. How does that affect addiction?
Hormone balance is something that once you are addicted will definitely be off. But the hormones tell the rest of the body what to do. So if the hormones aren't balanced, then the body's not working properly. And there are many glands that, you know, when you're talking about the pituitary, pineal, hypothalamus, thyroid function, if those are off, your chances of becoming addicted become much higher. because you don't have the normal reward type of sensations that are involved in that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we find as we check people's hormones is very few people have normally functioning hormones, mm-hmm. you know, in the world. So getting that balanced out really will be an important part of addiction treatment, and then also even addiction prevention. So, you know, if you can keep your kids from being off on their hormones, one, as I've worked with children who've come in who've had serious problems, the parents are like, I didn't know my child could be such a pleasant person.
They didn't know it was possible.
Didn't know it was possible. They just thought that was probably normal for a child or for a teenager. Mm-hmm. And most of the time that we are sullen, upset, mean, cantankerous, is because her hormones aren't working right.
Just blame it on the hormones.
Most of our physiology is, and our behavior is physiological based. Mm-hmm. It's chemical based. Mm-hmm. Change the chemistry and you change the behavior.
I mean, we see that all the time at our office.
See it all the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we're help saving marriages. We're, you know, there's so much we're doing. As you help change the physiology and balance that physiology, help people become healthier, helps to have healthier relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You even start liking yourself.
Mm-hmm. Which is important.
It's very important.
First step.
Very important.
Okay, Dr. Prather, when we come back, more on Hope for Addiction.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice. Dr. Prather, there was a major study by an insurance company that focused on the healthcare model you use in your office. What were the results of that study?
It actually was quite a seismic mm-hmm. finding. I like that term.
Yeah.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. It's a Chicago-based health maintenance organization. The group has 600,000 enrolled members. So they took about 10,000 of those mm-hmm. and put them in with chiropractors who are trained in the structure function model. Mm. Now, not all chiropractors are trained in the structure function model. These gentlemen actually got the same type of training that I had. Okay. And they were the primary care physicians. After 5 years, they had startling results. Mm. They had a reduction of 60.2% in hospital admissions.
Wow.
They had 59% reduction in hospital days. Mm-hmm. They had a 62% reduction in outpatient surgeries and procedures. And a remarkable 85% reduction in pharmaceutical costs.
Wow.
This resulted in a total savings in the first 5 years of 40% over all the other primary care physicians.
40%.
40% reduction. If you can imagine that we could reduce our healthcare costs across the board by 40%.
And get those kind of results.
And there were 80% less reactions. There was a reduction in lawsuits. Mm-hmm. There was a reduction in everything. Plus, the people were much, much healthier and much more satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing is that the specialists, the cardiologist, the oncologist, the gastroenterologist, all the specialists, as they were asked to rate the difference in the two different models.
Mm-hmm.
They gave the structure function model as the primary care mm-hmm. coming in a 96% satisfaction rating. Mm. And they gave the disease model as primary care a 40%. The results are indisputable.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
Well, we're talking today about hope for addiction. I love that title because there is hope. Mm-hmm. There's definitely hope, and we've seen it at our office. So we're talking about the structure function approach to addiction. Let's talk about the role on herbals play. And when I see that, we're not talking about marijuana here. But what role can herbals play?
Well, there's some very interesting help along with herbals as a replacement for some of the pharmaceutical. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, do you know what kudzu is?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you live down in Atlanta, then you know what kudzu is.
Uh-huh.
Down in the South. But interestingly enough, kudzu has a very strong physiological effect on helping people to get off of drugs and alcohol and substance. Hmm. So there is
so you can get that in a herbal
You can
form.
Actually get that in an herbal form. And
we carry that?
Yes. They actually found that as they are doing research on animals, that it helps with the rate. In other words, they get an animal addicted, mm-hmm. and then they get put kudzu, the herbals kudzu, into mm-hmm. Give that to them, and they find that there is a reduction of 50%.
Wow!
Of the usage of the drug as compared to the standard.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a very big change. Golden seal, barberry root, Oregon grapefruit has been also shown as something that's helpful with addictions. Gotu Kola is an herbal milk thistle, which helps to detox the body, help with liver enzymes, makes a big difference. Siberian ginseng, sort of a mood elevator. Super green foods are just some of the different types of herbals that can be very helpful in replacing some of the drugs in preventing the usage of alcohol or drugs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, herbals can be a nice substitute, and they're much safer and much more gentler to the body. And they help the body to become physiologically more balanced instead mm-hmm. of another different type of a poison that throws the body off in a different direction.
Makes sense. So how does homeopathy play a role in addiction?
Well, homeopathic is probably one of the most important parts of our program with addictions. One of the things that people really struggle with is trying to, as you're getting off the different types of drugs, there's withdrawal symptoms, and opiates are one of the worst ones. And what we do is we give homeopathic formulas along those lines to help with the withdrawal. And as we can get into the withdrawal with the homeopathics, one of the things that we had was we had a patient who came in who had tried four times to get off of opiates, off of heroin. Mm-hmm. And each one of those was unsuccessful because of the terrible withdrawal symptoms. We gave the person a homeopathic formula to take while they were doing the withdrawals. And they had absolutely one of the easiest times that you could imagine. There really weren't any withdrawal symptoms. Mm-hmm. And we have that on a continual basis. We've had people who were addicted to opiates. We gave them the homeopathics, and there was absolutely no withdrawal symptoms whatsoever. Now, there's definitely always a lessening of the homeopathics when we do that, but sometimes there can even be absolutely no withdrawal symptoms that are involved in that, which is absolutely remarkable because people have been looking for something along those lines for a very long time. This is not something that's new, mm-hmm. but with homeopathics, we actually do have an answer along those lines that is really quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm. And you're not putting a toxin in the system.
Right. It's a very healthy way of doing it. There's no contraindications. There are no side effects. The safety factor is just absolutely incredible.
What about acupuncture? Does that help with addiction?
Acupuncture, and I also include auricular along with those lines. Auricular works on the brain. It changes the brain chemistry. And along with acupuncture, changes the physiology of the body. But acupuncture and auricular combination is something that is well acknowledged as an excellent means of helping with the body balance out. One of the things that it does is it increases our own opiate receptors and our natural opiate production. Mm. And if you hit the right acupuncture points, it increases dopamine response. Increases oxytocin. So there's amazing different types of ways that you can manipulate the physiology of the body with acupuncture and auricular points, acupuncture on the ear, and get some very amazing changes in the body. And it's something that has been used for a long, long time, several thousand years, as long as acupuncture has been around, to help with addiction. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole addiction protocol along those lines, and there are clinics that's all they do, and with excellent results.
Mm-hmm. And we offer that to acupuncture. What role does body work and chiropractic play in addiction?
Body work and chiropractic are both very essential. One of the things that we find as we are taking care of the patients is if we can rearrange and change the neurology of the body. Best and quickest way to do to settle down the nervous system, the two things that control the whole body is the hormones and the nervous system, mm-hmm. the endocrine system and the neurological system. So working on both of those, if you're trying to balance out the body, you have to have those two things working. And so body work, chiropractic, and the hormones are absolutely essential to help with addiction. Mm.
You know, that was really interesting. We see those kind of results at our office using the structure function model.
Sure.
And been able to help and give hope to people and family members with addiction. It's very encouraging.
And one thing I see is that there are many more. If you are addicted, the needs for that type of work is always there.
Right.
Because if you have the body not working right, it's going to show up in the nervous system. Mm-hmm. So everybody really, really benefits, especially from chiropractic care, who is addicted. There mm-hmm. is, and they feel an immediate difference as soon as they receive the chiropractic adjustment.
When I think about the acupuncture, too.
Oh, immediate.
Mm-hmm. Right. People say they feel overwhelming sense of well-being.
Sure.
Their stress levels go down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are people that have the needles in them, right?
Sure. Well, we had a patient who was getting off opiates, prescription opiates, and they wake up in the morning and they feel awful,
mm-hmm.
and that everything is just going to fall apart, and there's no way that they can make it in. And they tell themselves, I know I'm going to be doing so much better if I make it in there. And they do. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, life is good. Now I can get going again.
Right. Let's talk about the importance of diagnostics.
Diagnostics are absolutely incredible. If you're going to be balancing out the physiology, if you're going to be bringing the body back into homeostasis, you have to know how it's out. So you have to do the blood work. You have to have an understanding of the tissue minerals. You have to be able to see what's going on in through the gut. To be able to get the body balanced out, you have to know how it's out of balance first.
Right.
So structure function care is even more dependent upon diagnostics than the disease care.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have good diagnostics. You have to have thorough diagnostics to be able to get to that point of knowing how to treat and how to fix the person.
Well, Dr. Prather, we have about 30 seconds to wrap up. What would you like to say to wrap up on this hope for addiction?
Well, One of the things that I'd like to say is that there is hope, no matter how far things are gone, how much you've actually suffered. I've known people who have said that they would rather die than try to go through detoxification again. Mm-hmm. There is a way of working with that if you seek out the proper person. Finding a structure function physician has to be one of the critical things, and right now is the missing piece in addiction care.
Mm. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very informative and very hopeful. Thank you.
Thank you.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com.